The parasha begins with the mitzvah of Yifas Toyar. Rashi and his commentary are Chumash quotes from the Tanoim. Eishes Yifas Toyar has the connotation of female Eishes Ish, even though she's a married woman. So you see from this comment that the Tanoim make that there is an institution of marriage by non-Jews. There clearly is. There is a din of one of the Sheva mitzvahs ben anach is that they're not allowed to have an affair with an Eishes Ish. Obviously there is Eishes Libin Enoach. It's not the same type of Eishes that we have. Eishes Yisrael is a different type of Eishes. Usually the Rambam writes, you only say a bracha on a mitzvah. Kol ha-mitzvahs kulam mevarach aleihem bo'ei v'lasiyasim. You always say a bracha. If it's a mitzvah that's unique to the Jewish people. Like you put on tefillin, or you put on tzitzis, or the women ben shlichna on Erev Shabbos. Go to mikveh, a mitzvah that only applies to the Jewish people. Marriage is an institution that applies to the non-Jews as well. So that's the question. Why do we recite the bracha when we get married? So the bracha is a very long bracha. Shekirishana b'mitzoyse v'tzivano al ha'aroyes v'asalona sarusas v'italona sarusas lano. Why such a long bracha? The answer is because the institution of marriage exists by the non-Jews as well. There is a concept of eishes ish by non-Jews, but it's a different kind of issue. So in the bracha that we recite when we get married, so we mention some of the differences. We say, v'tzivanu al ha'arayas. The non-Jews also have a list of prohibited marriages, arayas, but it's different. We have arayas are the issues, like I'm not allowed to marry my wife's sister, or my wife's daughter. By B'nai Noach, there's no prohibition against marrying Achos Ishtai. There's no prohibition against marrying Isha Bita. Because by us, the Ishus Yisrael can create an Isra of Isha Bita, creates an Isra of Isha Vachoysa. By the Bnei Noach, you don't have that. And we have Erisin and Nisuin. By Bnei Noach, they don't have Erisin, the Gemara says. They only have Nisuin, they don't have Erisin. So that it's a different type of a marriage. The Gemara says that Enki Lushin Tobsin Benochris, if there's an intermarriage, a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, so there's no issues. Some Achrenim say this. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this in the Gilyonei HaShas. He quotes Achrenim who say halacha lemaisa that there's no issues Israel if you have an intermarriage. But we have the common denominator issues ben anach. You do have the woman is considered an issues ish. Wow, it's a chiddush. And some Achrenim even say the din of mashikon to isha kanabayla applies. A Jewish man is married to a non-Jewish woman. A Jewish girl is married to a non-Jewish man, so we would apply the din of kol mashi kanzisha kanabayla. That's probably very, very difficult. Kol mashi kanzisha kanabayla is a takana de rabbanan. So the chacham made a takana de rabbanan for a couple who's intermarried. For a mixed marriage, why should you say like that? Tosis points out, kol mashi kan eber kanarabba, that's a din de raisa. Kol mashi kanzisha kanabayla, that's only a din de rabbanan. That's very difficult. To say that the din de rabbanan of mashi kanzisha kanabayla applies to an intermarried couple, even the whole thing itself, to say that there's issues b'nei noach by an intermarried couple, the pashtus is that there isn't. There isn't. I think around 40, 50 years ago, somebody was learning in Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and he published, I think, through Machon Yerushalayim. One of the early svarim that they put out was the shadus tshuvas of the Beis Meir. The Beis Meir was, I think, a cousin of the Ramoa or something like that. I forgot about it. No. Beis Meir was a cousin of Rabbi Kivega, way later, in the early 1800s. So the Beis Meir is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So he has tshuvas also. He has a very strange tshuva about an intermarried couple and the wife was not Jewish. She was a maid in a Jewish home. So she married a Jewish man. So he says that, and then she had an affair with someone. So he said, there's a din of Seita Asur Labayla. What? Seita Asur Labayla? A non-Jewish woman is married to a Jewish man. There's issues. Chiddush number one. Then you say she had an affair. They told her that the marriage wasn't chal. So she was living with someone else instead. So they say it's a din of Seita Asur Labayla. Seita Asur Labayla by B'nai Noach. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the guy writes in the footnotes, he wrote comments on the thing. He writes, he asked all the rabbeim and the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, no one ever heard of this, they can't believe that the Beis Meir wrote such a wild thing. That's, I think, the most famous tshuva. It's a little volume. So those tshuvas of the basement. It's very strange. Anyway, but you learn from the pasuk Eishes that there is an institution of Eishes by Bnei Noach. It's a non-Jewish man. Marries a non-Jewish woman. There is Eishes. It's not the same as Eishes Yisrael. And we say the bracha by the wedding. We don't say Asher Kedusham Sassuano the Kaddish Esu Eishes, because the goyim also have an institution of marriage. They don't have a mitzvah to get married, but they have an institution of marriage. So we share it in common. Can't say Kedushanim and Mitzvah and Sivanu. He gave us a mitzvah. He gave the same mitzvah he gave the hell the same institution of marriage to the Ummah Soilam as well. So when we say the bracha over getting married, we mention in the bracha what's unique about Ish Yisrael. Sivanu Aharoyes, Rasalanus Harus, Elitalanus Harzulaslanu. The differences between Ish Yisrael and Ish Bnei Noach. Just the other day, I was speaking about the Yefas Torah, Halacha Lamaisa. The Rambam writes that the Yefastoya Bokhsas of Yelusim Yerach Yomim, she doesn't wear her beautiful dress, Gilchas Reishel, she had her hair all dressed up, all fancy, in order to entrap a Jewish soldier. So she shouldn't wear the fancy dress. If the Jewish man wants to marry her, she should wear a plain dress. He shouldn't allow it to dress up. And after the month of crying, Chodesh Yom, after the month, is over, if you still insist you want to marry her. So then, so the Torah gives that, he's allowed to marry her. So the Rambam writes, but there's a din of hapchana. Whenever a woman converts, whenever a woman gets divorced from her husband, or the woman or the husband dies, and the woman wants to remarry, she has to wait 92 days, 90 full days, and the day the husband died, or the day the woman converted, and the day that she wants to get married, 90 full days in between. Avchana tzadik beis yom. What is the purpose of the avchana? We won't know if she's pregnant or not. We want to ascertain if she's going to marry someone else. We may not know whether the child is a child from the first husband or the second husband. What's the big difference whether the child the first husband or the second husband? Whom does he yarshin? If someone dies, does he sit shiva? Is he related to the other half-brothers? From the father, from the mother, whatever, we want to know. Okay. So Abchana is usually a chumra midirabbanan. If the child is going to be Jewish anyway, just a question who the father is, even though the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk, all the poskim assume the need for Abchana is only midirabbanan, and the pasuk is only an asmachta. By Igiyoris, some hold that Abchana is deraisa. You want to know whether the vlad is hairasa, shalob yigdusha, veligdosa, yigdusha, or the vlad that's going to be born is Hayrasa Bigdusha Veleidosa Bigdusha. So you need Havchana. So the Gemara says, Havchana by a Jewish woman, if the husband died, so the Gemara says, the need for Havchana is a loy plug rabbana, even if it's clear and obvious that the woman is not pregnant. She's 90 years old. She can't be pregnant, and she's been separated from the husband for the last 10 years. And they don't talk to each other. And Eliyahu Anavi comes, and he tells us that the woman is not pregnant. You know, for 10 reasons the woman is not pregnant. Mar said that it's a loy plug rabban. So then I said, Kelim on Shulchan Aruch, I'm not sure whether the requirement for Havchana by Giyuris is a loy plug or not. So it's a very interesting. There's a Shabbos Shuvah Sridi Eish by Rabbi Yechiel Weinberg, who was the head of the yeshiva in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin before the war. So he was asked to Shaila before the war and after the war, what's a din of Havchana by Giyoris? Is she'll take a pregnancy test. So we know that she's pregnant. She doesn't need a pregnancy. We see that the woman is pregnant. So do you still insist that you need Havchana? Is it a loyplug Rabbana by Giyoris like a loyplug by an Eishes Yisrael, by an Eishes Ish? So before the war, he wrote a tshuva, it's printed in the Sridi Eish, that the Mefarshim Amasupik, so you should be Machma, you should insist that it's a loyplug. After the Second World War, then a whole team of Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael started working on the Oitzah HaPoskim. It's on Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, and they made a likut of all of the tshuvas for him. All Acharonim have something to say about Shulchan Aruch. So sometimes they'll quote some real maramachim that no one would ever dream of, like the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch is a fantastic sefer, but you usually don't look in the Minchas Chinuch if you have a shaila. But the Minchas Chinuch has a raya from a Rambam that Havchona by the Giyoris is not a loy plug, because the Rambam writes over here, She cries over the fact that she's going to be married to this new guy. She's not going to be able to worship her old religion. She's going to become Jewish now. And then the Rama says she converts. Then you have to wait another 2 months, so you have the 3 months of Havchana. So the first month of the 3 months of Havchana is before she converted. So what kind of business is that? Havchana is supposed to be after the woman converts. So you see from the Rambam that by Geiris is not a light plug. You don't always insist that that the 3 months have to start after she converted. If you know that for the last month she wasn't living with a guy, that counts as the first month of the Havchana. So that's why now Rav Moshe is Mekel, even if you just take a pregnancy test in a lab. So the pregnancy test will determine whether the Gioris is pregnant or not pregnant, right? So then you don't have to wait any months.
What type of Gioris is it if she's crying, she doesn't
want to
convert?
It's a Gioris Balkorcha. It's a Chiddush. Usually Gioris needs the Haskama of the person who's converting. So over here it's a Chiddush that the Gioris Balkorcha is good. You have to learn Gemara Kiddushin. The first parak has all the dinim of Yifas Toyar, and there's a big machlokes in Rishonim. What's the nature of the Geiris Bal Korcha here? The one who has a lot to say on this is Rabbi Menachem Zembe. Rabbi Menachem Zembe was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he was a goyin hagoyinim. He was a businessman. His father-in-law had a hardware store, so the father-in-law supported him for quite a few years. He should sit and learn. Then the father-in-law died, so he had to take over the hardware store. So this guy, not going to him, he was a Polisher. But the Polisher usually have a different style of learning. But he knew how to talk and learning like a Briska. He knew how to talk and learning, whatever style of learning you had, he can talk and learning with you. Unbelievable. Menachem Zembe, unbelievable. We have very little. Everything was burnt by the Nazis. He wrote so much. The little that we have is out of this world. So Menachem Zembe used to correspond with the son-in-law of the Ursa Meir. The Ursa Meir had a daughter who got married, and she never had any children. She died during the father's lifetime. When the Ursa Meir died, there was nobody left. He had no one to sit shiva for him. So the din requires, the Gemara says, if someone dies and no relatives to sit shiva, community has to get together 10 people, a minion, to sit shiva. So that's what they did. They put together 10 people to sit shiva. So the Ursa Meir had a son-in-law who was a businessman, a big Talmid Chacham. Not like Rabbi Menachem Zembe. Menachem Zembe was a goyin, a goyin. So these two used to correspond with each other. Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer used to correspond, son-in-law of the Ursa Meir, used to correspond with the Rabbi Menachem Zembe. And so he died. He had no children. Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer had no children. So they put out a sefer called Zer Avraham, as if it's in place of the children. They have a sefer Zer Avraham Chidushim, alphabetically arranged by topics, by Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer, and then the Rabbi Menachem Zembe put out his correspondence with Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer, also called Zer Avraham. So he has a lot. He has a lot on Yifas Toyer. He has more than anybody else on the topic of Yifas Toyer. Yeah, then you have the Parsha of Bechor. You have the Psukim sound as if Kisiyen Alish Shtei Noshim Ho'achas Ahuva V'achas Nua V'yoldolo V'olim Ho'ahuva V'has Nua. Sounds like the Ahuva had the baby first, and the snua had a baby second. Why have been abchor lasnua? How did that happen? If the yolda lavanim ha'huva v'hasnua, if the ahuva had a baby first, how can it be that the bchor was to the snua? So after the Vilna Gaon passed away, everybody was printing things in his name. Like today, Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away, so everybody's printing things in his name. Some of the things are accurate, and most of the things are absolutely not accurate. So they printed the name of the Vilna Gaon, Acharifus, over here, that the Ahuva gave birth first, but the Snua became pregnant first. So since the Snua became pregnant first, Ben Abchor, Las Nua, depends on who became pregnant first. Doesn't depend on who's born first. So it's dead wrong. It's Beferish against the Din. It depends on who's born first. Doesn't depend which pregnancy preceded which. So the Vilna Bezdin had to hang up signs in all the shuls. No one's allowed to print any divrei Torah in the name of the Vilna Gaon unless they clear it with them first. Because the people are saying over stupidities, things that are keneged adin. So this was triggered that hachrozah. Because they printed this, and it's keneged ha'halacha. There's a chem de Rabbeinu Gershom that you're not allowed to marry more than one wife. So there's a famous Taz. The Taz writes in three places. He quotes the name of his father-in-law, the Bach, that when Rabbanim want to make Exer the Rabbanim, Gizun Tehet, they can make Exer Ushmatem Es Mishmati. That's the last pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois. Ushmatem Es Mishmati is the pasuk that authorizes the Chachamim to make Exer the Rabbanim. The very last pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois, Ushmatem Es Mishmati. The Gemara Yibamis, where is it? Daf Chafal Vaman Aleph, learns that from this pasuk, the right of the Chachamim to make Exer the Rabban. So the Taz quotes in the name of his father-in-law, the Bach, but they have no right to make Exer Kenegedov HaMafurish Batur. If it says Befevish in the Torah, something is Mutter, let's say blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. So the Bach was bothered with Akasha, why didn't he prohibit Kiyo Shofar on every Rosh Hashanah? It should be also because of Mashmiya Kol. It's a musical instrument. Even if it's not, you're not allowed to ring a bell, you're not allowed to bang a bell. Anything that's miyuchad for Hashmas Kol, even if it's not musical, anything miyuchad for Hashmas Kol, you're not allowed to use on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Bach answers, they can't make exer the Rabbanon, can they get to do away with the whole institution of Tkiyah Shofar? That's befevish in the pasuk that it's mutter. It never says explicitly that you have to blow Shofar even Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's self-understood, because Tkiyah Shofar is a chachma vein malach. There is no malach involved. So to make exer the Rabbanon not to blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that they have the right to do. That's not keneged davar mefurish b'Torah. But to make exer to do away with the whole Tkiyah Shofar, because of Mashmiya Kol, Shem Yisak and Kleshir, that they didn't have the ability to do. So Makshim Ho'elam, everybody asked the Kasha, how did the Rabbi and Gershom have the right to make a prohibition? You're not allowed to marry Shtei Noshim. The Chumash says, Kisiyena Li Shtei Noshim. You see that it is permissible. So they give different answers. Truth in the matter, they point out, it doesn't say that he was married to the two wives at the same time. Maybe he married one, and then he divorced her. Then he married the second one. And then they gave birth to the... Maybe they both gave birth after he divorced both of them. Doesn't say he was married to both at the same time. They give other answers as well. Anyway, this is the parsha of Bechoris, Noitel Pishnayim. The conservatives have a whole pshetl over here. The conservative Talmid HaChachamim have a whole pshetl. That the din really used to be, before they changed it, the rabbis have the right to change all the laws in the Torah, as we all know, if it doesn't fit in with the society. So the din always used to be that the Bechor gets two-thirds, Pishnayim, two-thirds. And if there are 10 children, the Bechor gets two-thirds, and the others are left with peanuts. 10 children, and he gets two-thirds. And the other 9 sons divide the one-third in 9 parts. And then the rabbis changed it, and they reinterpreted the Pshat Pishnayim, that it means he gets two portions, as if he would be 2 sons. So if there are 10 sons, and one is a Bechor, so instead of dividing in 10 parts, you divide in 11 parts, and Bechor gets 2 elevenths. So that we can live with. But if we would still observe the real din d'oraisa, Pishnayim, they get two-thirds, so that's unbearable. So that's why the rabbis had a right to change it. So we're also rabbis. We're all kolon chacham, kolon advan, kolon eskeim. We can change the laws of the Torah also. How do they know that the word Pishnayim means two-thirds? Because when Eliyahu HaNavi was about to go up in the fiery chariot to heaven, so Elisha HaNavi requested of him, his Talmud requested, he wants Pishnayim beruchacha. What he wants? Pishnayim, double koyach hanevuah? Ah, chutzpah. How can it be? How can Elisha be such a chatzuf? So you see, Pishnayim means two-thirds. It doesn't mean double the portion. It means two-thirds. So just like over there means two-thirds, over here means two-thirds. And just like the rabbis changed all the laws, we can change the laws also if it's not acceptable by society. So the rabbis said the whole thing is wrong. The rabbi said, well, Elisha HaNavi requested Pishnayim. He requested a double koyach hanevuah. The Gemara says, how was it fulfilled? The Gemara said, because Eliyahu HaNavi was only Mechaya one mace, Elisha was Mechaya two mace. The Gemara befarish like that. And Pishnayim doesn't mean, it never meant two-thirds. It means a double chelak Yerusha. The Lashon HaPasuk is strange. B'yom hanchilo asvan aveis hasher yihi alo. What do you mean when the father is about to give over the Yerusha? The Malach HaMavis takes your life, and you kick the bucket, and the Yerusha goes by itself. What? The guy's committing suicide. What do you mean, Hanchilu Hazbanam? So the Mishnah quotes the Mishnah Kuf Lamed, Omer Aleph, and Bava Basra. And Yeshnach, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, I think. I think it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. He says, See from the pasuk Hatar Nastam Rishus Laav Lahanche Lachol Misha Yirtza. That's it. I have three sons. So one of my sons is in business. The other two sons are in learning. So the son is in business, doesn't really need, he's doing well. The other two sons are in learning, so they could use a little help. So the Torah gives me the authority, and neither the son, none of the sons are the Pchor. My oldest child is a daughter. I have six daughters, so the daughters don't get any Yerusha. Only the three sons. So the three sons, each one is aligned to get 30%. So if the father wants to, maybe it's a stupid thing, maybe it's a very stupid thing to do. If the father wants it, he can change the proportions. Instead of each son getting 33 1/3%, he can say, I want one son, I want the two sons who are learning to get 40%, and the son is a business, so he doesn't need my Yerusha, he should only get 20%. The son who gets the 20% may not want to attend the funeral. He may not want to say Kaddish. He may hate the father forever. Maybe it's not a smart thing to do. So the Torah says, V'yom hanchilas banav, the Torah gives the father the right to rearrange the percentages of the Yerusha. He can't say, I make a tzavua, I want all the six daughters to get an equal share with the sons. The daughters are not aligned to get anything. So that's not included in the pasuk. In the Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes, the Hagos Maimoni, that they recommend you should give the daughters something. The daughters will never forgive the father if he's going to not give them any Yerusha. So in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they used to give a small amount. Today, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach recommend you should give an equal amount to all the children, the sons and the daughters. But you have to make kinyonim, you have to know how to do it. The Din Deraisa doesn't apply in that case. Din Deraisa, Hator Nostra Meshus La'av La'anchil, father has the ability to make a tzavua. That's only to change the proportions of people who are in line to get something. So you can change the proportions to get more or less. But for the local charity should get, that's not bidin tzavua. That's a different din. That's not bidin tzavua. Tzavua is only those in line to get. In the Achrayim, they recommend that someone was just talking to me this week is going to change his will. So I said, why? He's my age. So I said, why? You reached the age of 50 already. The Achrayim say, when a person reaches 50, he should make a tzavua. Because you should, when you reach 50, you should consider possibility that you're going to die. So they say, Remez and the Pasuk, Vishnasa Yavel Hazaz Toshuvu Isha Lachuzasai. That's a Pasuk. So the pasuk means, if you have a stay mikne, if I bought a field, someone had a stay achuza that he got Birusha for his father, grandfather, great grandfather, all the way back to Yeshua ben Nun, so, and he sold it to someone else in Eretz Yisrael, so it's a stay mikne, so then when it comes, Yom Kippur Shel Yev, it goes back to the one that it reverts back to become a stay achuza. B'shnas ha-yavel azos, Yom Kippur Shel Yev, toshuvu ish alach azos, everybody gets back the field that originally was a stei achuz, and it reverts back to become a stei achuz. So al derech hadrash, the pasuk may be as a remez, b'shnas ha'yavel azos, when a person reaches the age of 50, toshuvu ish al achuzos, they should consider the fact that they are going to return to their maker, and they're going to die. So you should make out a tzavur. A person shouldn't wait till he's already ancient. When you reach 50, you should make a tzavur. And they recommend you should leave money to tzedakah also. How does it work? Tzedakah is not aligned to get anything. How does it work? It's a different din. It's a different din, how the tzedakah works. So Chaim Oiza has tshuvas about that. Then the Torah has the institution of the Ben Sorer Moreh. There's one Tana, there's a Perek Ben Sorer Moreh, the end of Sanhedrin. So one Tana is of the opinion that the conditions are so far-fetched for Ben Sorer Moreh, it's highly unlikely, one chance in a billion that it's ever going to happen. The parents have to have the same height and the same facial features and the same voice. Either the father has a woman's voice or the mother has a man's voice. The whole thing is so far-fetched. And the parents are going to be prepared to bring the kid to give him the death penalty. Even if you have rotten children, no parents are going to bring, there's no obligation to bring your children to the bezin. If they bring them to the bezin, then they give them the death penalty. The parents don't have to bring them. Of course they're not going to bring. Even if you have a miserable child, you don't give them the death penalty. It's never going to happen. So why in the world was it written? Why was it written? So the Gemara said, Drosh v'kal v'schar. Read the parish and get schar. One time, and the other Tana disagrees, says, no, I was once on a tour, and the tour guide showed us a cemetery, and he said, this kever was a Ben Sorer Moreh. One Tana says that Tzara's batim is so far-fetched. It never was and never will be. The conditions are so far-fetched. Never going to happen. Another Tana says, not true. I was on a tour and they showed me a churva. They said that used to be Bayis HaMenuga. Then one, another Tana says, they didn't hear any dachas. It's so unlikely. If there's one mezuzah, there's no delivery any dachas. So the Tanoim couldn't visualize a city in Eretz Yisrael that doesn't have one mezuzah. Unfortunately, now there are still cities from before Hakamas HaMedina that still don't have a mezuzah. But in the days of the Tanoim, they thought such a thing is just impossible. How can it be? In the places where they have no mezuzah, they don't worship Abba Yisrael. They don't do too many mitzvahs, but they don't worship Abba Yisrael. So there's a possibility that there are one or two or three mitzvahs that never were and never will be. So it doesn't make sense. Why did Rabbi Shlom put it in the Torah? Every state has a state constitution here in the United States. And the constitutions were written a long time ago. So every couple of years, every state has a constitutional convention. They update the constitution. So whatever laws don't apply anymore, so they take them out of the constitution. So this doesn't make any sense. Why did the Rabbi Shlom? The Rabbi Shlom knows in advance what's going to develop in his world. He knows what's reasonable, what's unreasonable. If it's so highly unlikely that these three mitzvahs never were, never will be, why did the Rabbi Shalom put it into the Torah? So what do you mean, Drosh V'Kabal Schar? Drosh V'Kabal Schar. The Daf Yomi people finish Shas in 7.5 years. How much do you have? How many dinam are there about the Ben Sarah Mara? Sachakol, 3 blood Gemara. Perek Ben Sarah is bigger, but the rest of the Perek talks about Yehora Gval Yavah. Doesn't talk about Ben Sarah, but they padded it. They stuck in other things in order to have a Perek Ben Sarah Mara. Hardly anything there. Here in Idachas, the end of Sanhedrin. Also, it's less than 3 blood Gemara, the only Yemeni Dachas. And Bais Tzaraz Batim is also in the Mishnais, it's 2 or 3 Prokin, very little. The whole thing is in Gansan, 10 blood Gemara. So the Daf Yomi people would have made it see Mashas 10 days earlier. So they have so much, you have so much Gemara, so much Yerushalmis. What do they need these 10 blood Gemara for? What do you mean, Drosh V'Kabal Schar? That's a big question. What does it mean? What does it indicate? So that's it seems to indicate that there's something more to the Torah than a collection of mitzvahs. It is a collection of mitzvahs, and every mitzvah that comes our way, we're obligated to observe it. Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpoch and everything else. But in addition to being a collection of mitzvahs, it's also a description of Elokus. The Torah is referred to as the Moshel HaKadmoni in Novi. Moshel HaKadmoni is a Moshel authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Moshel, the description of Elokus, would have been incomplete without these three mitzvahs. Most of the mitzvahs, it's possible to act out the various aspects of Elokus. We wear tefillin, we wear tzitzis, we observe Shabbos and Kashrus and so on. We're acting out different aspects of Elokus. And these aspects of Elokus are necessary for the shleimus of the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, but it doesn't, we can't act it out. There's nothing to act out. So it shows something important about the nature of the whole Torah. It's something more than a collection of mitzvahs. It's an important concept. Then the Torah has the din. If a person is put to death by the Bezdin, so there's a din, kavetik brena b'yamahu, the mitzvah kvura, v'chatchil mitzvah kvura on the same day that he dies, and there's a loisase, l'sol nevelos, you shouldn't leave over the body till the next day. The pasuk happens to be speaking about one who was put to death by the bezdin. He says, bezdin, what if a person dies naturally? He dies at home? Is there a mitzvah kvura? It doesn't say in the chumash. So the Gemara learns it out from the kefa loshen kavetik brena. Do you darshin in the shenis kfulim? So that's a machlek to satanayim. Do you say diber terek in the shen beri adam? So the Torah will repeat a word a lot of times. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. Rabbi Shmuel holds the machlek to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel holds diber terek in the shen beri adam. You have no right to darshin in the shenis kfulim. That's the way people talk. That's why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam dictated the chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not the accepted opinion. We pass on like Rabbi Kiva. Lo diber terek in the shen beri adam. So whenever you have the Shonis Kfulim, you darshan something. So what do we darshan from the Lashon Kovet to Berenu? So we darshan, Afila Meisal Mitosa, even if the person is not from the Haruge Bezin, even if he dies a natural death, there's also a mitzvah of Kvura. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin where the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes two Brises, one after the other. Both brises say word for word the exact same thing. We don't understand why the Gemara quoted two brises that say exactly the same thing. So the Lecha Mishnah at the bottom of the Rambam suggests that there's one difference between the two brises, one word difference. One brisa says remez lekura menatar minayim. One brisa says it's a remez. So the Lecha Mishnah thinks that that's the difference. Is it an asmachta midrabbanan, or is it a real din deraisa? The Rambam paskins like the opinion that it's a din deraisa. That kura sameis is a din deraisa. The Lecha Mishnah explains there's a problem with a problematic Rambam, and when he has the dinim of kvura, the Gemara has a suffix about something. The Rambam writes a different answer from the Gemara. So the Lech Mishnah explained the Gemara Sofik was on the assumption that the mitzvah of Kvura Bashar Mesim is only the Rabbanon. The Rama Pasla Abish Daraisa said the whole Sofik in the Gemara is irrelevant. So we assume La Locha like that, that Kvura Bashar Mesim, and we assume Lo Dibetur Kli Visham Eyodam, we do Darshan Lashon as Kvulim, so it says Kovatik Berena, so we assume it even applies to Mesal Mitosa, there's a mitzvah of Kvura. We do accept the idea that Kvura Baharugi Bezdin is slightly different on the level of the rice, it's a different din. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the saif that they use to cut his neck off has to be buried with him. They can't reuse the saif to kill other people. They buried the saif or a chenek if a person was killed by chenek, so the scarf that they choked him to death with, they have to bury with him also. Nigborim imo. The Gemara, what do you mean, imo? You put it in the coffin. The Gemara says, imo terch dal ramas. Imo bitfusasa is a concept that tfusas ameis. The tfusas ameis is dal ramas around. So it doesn't mean imo. So that's a special din by Haruge Bezdin. They have a special din of kvura. The din is that you're not allowed to bury tzaddik etzel rosho. The Gemara learns that from Tzukim. You're not permitted to bury tzaddik etzel rosho. You're not allowed to bury rosho chomer. Eitzel Rosh Kal. That's why the Mizrahi has their own cemetery, and the Turekarta have their own cemetery, Yaguda has their own cemetery, and Broyes has their own cemetery. Every community has their own, because we assume all the people in the community probably violate the same number of Averis. So if anybody's really keeping count, and one person violated 100 Averis, one person violated 101 Averis, you're not allowed to bury one next to the other. But who's keeping count, we don't know. So we assume all the people from each kehila probably do the same number of averus. So you bury all those people in the same cemetery. But chalila, someone from the Mizrahi should be buried next to someone from the Aguda, they clearly do a different number of averus. So each group insists they don't want to be buried next to the others. Okay. So by Haruge Bezdin, there's a special in Gemara Halachah Moshe Mesinai. Nisrofin v'niskolam are buried in one cemetery, and the Arogim and Achnokim are buried in the other cemetery. Even though Skila is more chomer than Sreifa, and it's not the same degree of Averis. The Gemara said that's an exception to the rule. That sounds like Salachal Moshe Mesin Hilchos Admirilo, that they have shtei bote kvoris. You don't make four, one for Niskolam, one for Nisrofin, one for Achnokim, one for Arogim. You have two batik forests, and you're really burying Rosh Chomer, Eitzel Rosh Kal, but that's not Lochan. So there clearly is a separate din kvura by Haruge Bezdin, and a separate din kvura by a regular mace. Mitzvah kvura is because of Kovar Abrius. Kovar Abrius even applies after death. Mechaim, there's certainly a din of Kovar Abrius. A lot of people don't have respect for other human beings till after they die. After they die, then you have to show Kovar Abrius. The Gemara says, Kovar Ames is even after he dies. While he's alive, there's a big achi of Kovar Abias. The guy is alive. By Anochri, there's only Kovar Abias while he's alive. There's no din of Kovar Abias after he's dead. But while he's alive, there is a din of Kovar Abias.
If let's say that someone's father was clearly on a different madriga than them, then would it be appropriate to be buried next to them?
Probably not allowed to. Not supposed to, yeah. Not allowed to bury a tzaddik eitz of Russia, Rosh Chama eitz of Rosh Kal. These are dinin, yeah. The Mishnah says, Hey, Linei Lechvodo is mutter. Today we hardly ever bury anyone the same day that they die. Usually bury the day after. Why? Because you want to notify people in the community that they should. Everybody goes to work in the morning and then. You can't have a funeral of the same day. It's a big city. or the children live all over Arba Kanfes Haaretz, you want to notify the children that that they should all come to attend the funeral. So how do you know that that's permissible? Then the Mishnah says the whole purpose of Kruas HaMeis is Kavod HaBriyos. Man was created B'Tzelem Elokim, Shum Kavod HaBriyos. So if you're going to do Halonas HaMeis Mishum Kavod HaMeis, then it's Mutam. So some Achrayim ask a kasha, but there's a Machlokes HaTanaim whether Dashin the time of the Kruah, Loi Dashin the time of the Kruah. We always pass on Loi Dashin the time of the Kruah. Machlokes HaPshimin and HaChachamim. So Reb Shimon, the Tana Reb Shimon Baichai holds Dashin in time of the Kruah. That in addition to the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nid Resh HaSpem, there's another Midah, that Tamei HaMitzvahs. We have to figure out what's the reason for each and every mitzvah. And whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. And we don't paskan like Reb Shimon. You should try to figure out what are the Tamei HaMitzvah. That's a chelek and a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to try to figure out what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah trying to teach us by giving us this mitzvah. But it's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nid Resh HaSpem that it should regulate the application of the mitzvah. You can't say, since the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, therefore the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So how did the Achrenim ask, how did the Tanaim come up with such a din that Helene Lechvodo, Lehovile Orme Tachrichim, is mutter? You want to get more people to attend the funeral, so it's mutter to postpone the funeral. How are you allowed to do that? We pass Kandori Dashin in time of the Kruah. So the Mepharshim explained, no. Here it says the reason, my Kavitik Brana Kikila Selekim Tolik. Because man was created with Tzelem Elokim, then he shall have a higher, deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim, Bonim Lamokim, and therefore it'll be a violation of Kavit Abriyas if you'll postpone the funeral. But if by postponing the funeral you'll enhance the Kavit Abriyas, then it's Mutta. Here the Pasuk gives the reason. The only time there's a machlek, so Pshim and the Rabbanim, we paskan like the Chachamim, loy dashin in time of the Kruah, that's when the Torah writes a din, and it doesn't write the reason. But if the reason says right next to the din, l'sol nevlosa kikilos elekim tal, gives the reason. So then, even the Chachamim say, that since the Torah gives a reason, whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole din doesn't apply. But the din, we assume the din, the chi of Kruah only applies to Mesa Yisrael. Anochri, who's alive, is created by Tzelem Elokim, you have to show Kavod HaBriyos. But once he's not alive, there's no longer a din of Kavod HaBriyos. Why is by Yisrael, why is that so? Why is by Yisrael, even after he dies, there's a din of Kavod HaBriyos? We have a difference between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. We were talking about it yesterday, no? So Tashmishei Mitzvah, Ahuktzah V'Mitzvasan, only Bizman HaMitzvah. The Esrig and the Lulav Ahuktzah V'Mitzvasai, if you shook the Lulav and the Esrig, if you used it for the Mitzvah, if you bought it, you never used it, it's Hazman Allah Milsi, it's not Huktzah V'Mitzvasai. But if you used it on Sukkahs, it comes Huktzah V'Mitzvasai, until after Yantav V'Zavah. After Yantav V'Zavah, then you can throw it in the garbage. The same thing, the Sukkah, after Sukkah V'Zavah, you can throw everything in the garbage. During Sukkahs, it's Huktzah V'Mitzvasai. So that's because it's Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Mitzvah are only hooked on the Mitzvahsam, only has Kedusha temporarily, calls my Mitzvahsam. Tashmishei Kedusha have a permanent Kedusha. Even after the Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah became so worn out and so puzzled that it's not even shaykh to fix it, then we say it still retains Kedusha. So, Rav Chaim Volozhin, we mentioned, Rav Chaim Volozhin gave the definition. One is something considered Tashmishei Kedusha, one is a Tashmishei Mitzvah. Whenever they're psukim from Tanakh, so to the extent that you have psukim, to that extent there's a status of Kedusha, of Tashmishei Kedusha. So apparently that's the difference between a Nochri and a Yisrael. Yisrael, we mentioned yesterday, Rav Soloveitchik said, where does the Kedusha of Yisrael come from? So he thought the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula. Not only the boy babies, the girl babies also. Malach teaches Kol HaTorah Kula to all the Jewish babies. He doesn't teach the Torah to the Nochrim, but the Nochrim, while they're alive, they keep some or all of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So because they keep the mitzvah, so their body is a Tashmishei Mitzvah after they die. So Tashmishei Mitzvah, Lachas Man HaMitzvah is Nizrakim. So there's no longer a chiyuv to show Kavod HaBriyos once the person is dead. But by Yisrael, because the Malach teaches Kol HaTorah Kula, his body is a Tashmishei Kedusha, so even after he dies and is no longer shach to observe any mitzvahs, he says he still retains Kedusha. So that's why it's Tashmishei Kedusha or Nignozim. Yeah, you're tolling kvurim. You have to be mechabed even a mace. People think as if the Jewish religion places emphasis on death and shiva. That's in America. A lot of Jews, the only mitzvah they observe is yizkah, yahrzeit, and kaddish, and that's it. That's a distorted picture of Judaism. We don't place too much emphasis on. We stay away from death. B'chai b'hem aloshi amos b'hem. We don't. Kavod HaChaim is more important than Kavod HaMeis. The Gemara says in Ksubas, if there are two groups and they come to a crossroads, they're going in different directions. The Shalahu has Kedima. So one group is dancing for the Chasam Kala, they're celebrating a wedding. Another group is taking a dead body to Kvura. So which group, and then they get to the crossroads and there's no red light, green light. So who has the Kedima? The Gemara says the Kavod HaChaim takes precedence over the Kavod HaMeis. All the time. Kavod HaChaim is other from Kavod HaMeis. Torah says, there's even a din of Kavod HaMeis. My Jewish Meishim, there's even a din of Kavod HaMeis. But by Meisei B'nei Noach, there's no chi of Kvura. But then it says, V'lo setam is ad moscha, says the Ramban on the Chumash has a chiddush, and he quotes a pasuk from Sefer Yeshua that it says like that. When they hung up the Lamed Aleph Malachim, after they killed him, they hung them up. And then it says, and they took the bodies down the same day to fulfill what it says in Teras Moshe, the Solon Nivlos Al Ha'etz. So you see that the Pasuk even applies to Meisei Akum. So the Ramban says, yeah, Meisei Akum in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Lord. There's a din, you shouldn't leave the Solon Nivlos Al Ha'etz anywhere in the world because Bizoyan Ameis, Kikil HaSalakim Tolei, because man was created with Tzelem Alakim, Banim Lamokim. And then in Eretz Yisrael, there's a din with a tamis ad moscha. You shouldn't leave over even a meisakum because of tumas Eretz Yisrael. But in Chutz Lords, meisakum, there's no din of kvura. So that's a shaila. How do you have a medical school in Eretz Yisrael? They have a cadaver there. You're not supposed to have even a non-Jewish cadaver. You're not allowed to have an Eretz Yisrael. It's a problem. So now they're moving, they're shifting. They're allowing the Kohanim who went to medical school would always get an exemption that they can study anatomy without actually dealing with the cadaver. And now in a lot of medical schools they're shifting, no one deals with the cadaver. Everybody studies anatomy, virtual anatomy. They see three-dimensional images of different organs. Okay. But that has to be in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to have even Meisei Akum. You're not allowed to leave around. There's a Tamiyas Ad Moscha. Then the Torah has the din of Hashavas Aveda. It's the whole Perek Elam Metzias. All about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara gives different examples of Aveda. Shor Achicha Oseh Nidochim Misalamtem Hashim Tishibim. First part starts off with Shor Oseh. Then it says, V'chein Taseh Lecha Amara V'chein Taseh Nesim Laso V'chein Taseh Lecha Aveda Sechich Shetavim Menu Umtzoso. So the Gemara asks, what did the Chumash have to give so many Mesholim? Chamorah, Simlosai, Cholaveda, Sachicha. The Gemara explains what each one tells you. So Simlosai, in the days of the Tanakh, they didn't have factories where they manufactured a million dresses that are exactly the same. The same print and the same design, exactly the same. The same size. Every beged was made by a tailor to fit. They didn't have machinery that makes exactly the same. So the Gemara says, "Masim lemiyachedush sheyesh lo simanim." Every symbol is going to be different. No two dresses, no two suits are going to be the same. Every suit or every dress was made specially for that person. So the Tanoim darsh masim lemiyachedush sheyesh lo simanim, and therefore v'yesh lo tovim because it has simanim, so he's not going to be misyayish from it. Of course, v'yesh lo simanim v'yesh lo tovim. If the person is misyayish from the aveda, then there's no chiyav hashavas aveda. Then you have a right to take it. So this pasuk, Simla, Mincheres, Simla is the marker for the institution of Yush. So once the person lost an Aveda and he's misyayish from it, you're not mechuyev to give it back, and you're allowed to pick it up and keep it for yourself. So Midas Chasidus to give it back even after Yush, but Mi'ikar Adin, Gemara says, you're not obligated to. Hefker has learned that from a different pasuk, the institution of Hefker, Tosis, and Baba Kama points out. Hefker has learned that from the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, where it says, "V'hashviyis tishmetena unetashto." Why does it say twice, "Tishmetena unetashto"? So Tish Matana means it's a mitzvah on the farmer to be mafker the peris, and Shnas HaShmikti should open up the fences and put up the sign, everybody, whoever wants, has a right to take the peris. And Eretz Yisrael, Shnas HaShmita, those who observe Shmita, those who don't rely on Het HaMechira. So they have signs up in Hebrew. Please help yourself, take whatever you want. The entrance to the field is over here. Please take whatever you want. That's Tishmentena. Why does it say a second time, Unetashto? So the Yerushalmi says, Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi, Yesh lech netisha cherishi kazu, all 7 years long. Whenever you want to be mafka anything, let's say, I have an old Gemara, I've just bought a new Gemara, so I don't need the old Gemara, so I put it on the Hefka table. So there is an institution of Hefka is learned out from the word Unetashto in Parshas Mishpatim, just like there's a mitzvah on the farmer to be mafka the Perishvi is in Eretz Yisrael, so too there's the ability to be mafka whatever you want any year of the Shemitah cycle. And Yush is learned out from this post. They're not the same. Yush and Hefka are not the same in a certain sense. They're opposites are different, very different from each other. Yish is learned out from the word simlosa, simlo. Gemara has a famous comment. You should hold on to the Aveda. Whenever you pick up an Aveda, you should hold on. Adrosh achicha also, until the owner, the rightful owner, comes and he requests, you put up the sign, I found a watch. So don't say what kind of a watch, a gold watch, silver watch, a cheap watch, an expensive watch. Don't say what kind of watch. Let the guy tell you what kind of watch, what kind of make was it, and what does it look like, and so on. What color is it? Fine. Well, you lost the sweater. So I find the sweater. I put up the sign, I found the sweater. You tell me, does it have sleeves? Does it not have sleeves? Is it a brand new sweater? Is it an old sweater? Does it have holes in it? You describe it, you give me the siman. So the Gemara said, the pshuto shal mikveh hoy imcha ad rosh achicha oisai, until the rightful owner will come. He saw the sign that says, you found the sweater, and whoever lost the sweater, come and speak to me about it. So Drosh HaChicha Asa means that the rightful owner will come and request from you that he wants back the sweater, and you'll ask him what did it look like. So the Gemara says, an additional level of interpretation, Drosh HaChicha Asa Doshei Shalo Yehei Ramai. You should interrogate the guy who claims that it's his. Make sure that he's not a faker. He saw a sign that you found the sweater. So he's going to try to figure out. He didn't lose his sweater. He's a liar. He's going to come and make believe that he lost the sweater. He's not going to give any siman. So the Gemara says, "Darsheyu shelo yehei ramayi." The one, the moitzi haveda, should be dorish. The man who claims that he's the rightful owner, darsheyu shelo yehei ramayi. So the Gemara has a lot of dinim based on that. Darsheyu shelo yehei ramayi. The Torah has a din, lo yeh kli gevra alisha, liyol mashgeva sim lasisha. The Torah wants that the men and the women should dress differently, they should take different kind of haircuts, and there's a Mishnah in the middle of Soita, all the differences. The Mishnah has many differences, and Tosfos on the Mishnah quotes that Tosefta has more. All the differences in halacha between men and women, the Torah has different roles for the men and for the women. We live in a generation that the whole society is rebelling against the Torah. They have the women take haircuts like men, the men take haircuts like women. It's against the halacha. It's supposed to be separate and different. Everything should be different. The men and the women are supposed to be different. It's considered a ta'eva. Then we have an institution of Shiluach HaKan. What kind of a din is that? Shiluach HaKan. Masikach Eim Al Abonim. So people usually assume that it's out of rachmanis for the animals. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Zohar, the Pesachei Teshuvah quotes from the Zohar, just the opposite, that the idea of Shiluach HaKan is to do an act of achzorius. Shalech t'shalach ha'saim, it's a banim. I take the banim and I send the mother away. The mother, it's an achzorius to the mother. So the Zohar says that the reason for the mitzvah, the Zohar gives a lot of Tamei mitzvahs. The reason for the mitzvah is that we want to open up the gates of mercy in heaven. Shari Rachman should open up for the Nebuch, for the mother. Shalech the Shalcha Zayim, I chase her away and I take her chicks. And once the Shari Rachman are opened up for the poor bird, then Min HaShamayim will have Rachmanis on everybody. That's the opposite from the way people usually assume. That the reason why you shouldn't lasikachem al abanim is out of rachmanis. So the Zohar says that's the opposite. is to do an act of achzarius to the bird. The Mishnah in the end of Chulin, we're learning Chulin this year. Mishnah in the end of Chulin, towards the end of the Mesichta, as a machlokes hatanaim, one who violates lasika chayim alabanim, does he get malchus? So the tanaim, a lot of tanaim are up the pins. Machlokes hatanaim say there's no malchus because it's a lav anita klasei. Because even if he did violate the lav lasika chayim alabanim, you could be misakan it later. Shalech to shalchasayim. Even if you took both, you can send away the mother later, and that will undo the avera. So that's the klal. Whenever you have a lav anita klasei, you don't get any malchus. Where are all these klolim established? Where are all the rules established? How do they decide who gets malchus or doesn't get malchus? That's also based on the psukim at the end of today's sedra. And Shvi is very long. Shvi is a very long aliyah. I don't know why they didn't divide it in a more fair way. Shvi has like five aliyahs in it. And one person gets the whole aliyah. So it says, if there'll be a din Torah, it's dikwas at tzarek yeshivas harosha. Bezim will ascertain who's the tzarek, who's the rosha. V'hoyo and din hakois harosha. If the rosha deserves malchus, then he pil rosha would call the fanuf. K'nei rishasa v'mispor. They give the malchus in the presence of the bezim. Mises bezim, you don't give in the presence of the bezim. Mishnah says in Nigmar Din, in the middle of Sanhedrin, Mises bezim has to be michutz lo'ir, not in the presence of the bezim. But malchus has to be just the opposite. Dafke, in the presence of the bezin. Chaim Soloveitchik in his Sefer on the Rama makes up a whole chiddush out of this. Wants to come up with a whopper of a chiddush, a difficult, very difficult chiddush, a very difficult Reb Chaim. But the din is the din. The malchus has to be in the presence of the bezin. He said, Dafke, not in the presence of the bezin. So the Torah says, if the fellow's a Rasha, he deserves to get malchus. So we give him the malchus, Abayim Yakenu. Which Rasha deserves malchus? Very unclear. So the very next pasuk says, Lo Sachsim Shabdisha. It's in the same parsha. There's no psucha stuma separating. Lo Sachsim Shabdisha. That's called smuchim. When you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume there's a connection between the two. That's called the hekesh. When you have two psukim next to each other, that's called smuchim. So that's a machlokes satanaim. Do you darshan smuchim and call it arkula? The psak amekubal is you don't darshan smuchim, only a Mishnah Torah. So there are many, many, many famous drushes that are based on smuchim and chumish dvarim. This is one of the very famous drushes. The only one who gets malchus because he's a rusha, b'hayon bin akos a rusha, is one who violated a lav that's similar to lav de chasima. Doesn't mean ksiva or chasima toiva. That's chasima with a tuf. Chasima. This is losachsim chasima with a samach. Do me the lav de chasima. If the aver is similar to losachsim shor b'dishoi, then the Rosha gets Malchus, and the Tanoim have a whole discussion, which Aver is considered Dumid Alab da Hasima. So there's a Machlegis HaTanoim, what if you do a Lab She'en Bo Maisa? We pass on Lab She'en Bo Maisa, ain't Loikam Olav, you don't get Malchus. We had it on the first daf in Chulin, Taisit discussed Temura, because the Mishnah, the Gemara quoted the Mishnah from the beginning of Temura. One who does Temura is Loik, even though it's a Lab She'en Bo Maisa. So it's a Machlegis in the Gemara. Is Temura an exception to the rule? Or because b'dibur is savid maisa, the temura is chalsa, maybe it's called the lav sheyesh ba maisa. But so that's a machlokes hatanaim. Is that called dumi the lav da chasima if he violated the avera without a maisa? The lav anita glase is considered a lav, not dumi the lav da chasima. Absolutely, sorry, that's different. The Gemara has a whole parak, elahein aloikin. So the Gemara discusses. In different cases, is it called Dumi Dalab da Hasima or not? So we assume that Lasika Chaim Alabanim Shiloh Hakan is a Lab Nita Gles, and one will not get Malchus. Then the Torah has a mitzvah putting up a Makkah. Lasas Mandamu Vesech Ki Yipal Hanefal Mimenu. Why say Kiyipal HaNeifel Mimenu? So the Yerushalmi has a comment. Kiyipal, why do you call him HaNeifel? He didn't fall down yet. Lest someone will fall down. Kiyipal Ish Mimenu. Kiyipal Oda Mimenu. Why do you say Kiyipal HaNeifel Mimenu? So the Yerushalmi has a comment. If he falls off and he loses his life, it must have been that it was Nigzam and Hashemayim that he is a Neifel. But it shouldn't be al yodecha. Don't you be the shliach l'roh. You don't have to be the one to leave off. You're not going to put a makkah, then they'll blame you. It'll be your fault that the guy lost his life because you didn't put the makkah. He deserves to die. There's a gzeir ben Hashem and he should die, but it shouldn't be al yodecha. So that's the institution of makkah. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that the only mechuyav to make a makkah if the porch is 10 tefachim higher than the ground. So the Gemara says, bor, a bor is chayv if a shenafal sham sharach hamor get injured or they lose their life, the bala bor has to pay. The Gemara says if the shor b'chamor loses his life, the bala bor is only chayv to pay if it's a bor yud tefachim adipa. A bor tes, tefachim, can only cause nezikin, it can't cause misa. So the Gemara said the same is true. People on earth are many. You only need the mitzvah. Makkah only applies if the elevation is 10 tefachim or higher. But if it's less than 10 tefachim from the ground, you can't lose your life. You can break your leg. You can get hurt, but you can't lose your life. So the Gemara says, Baba Kama, there's no chiyuv to put a makkah. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Chalamoid quotes the Ritvo and Moed Katan. The Mishnah says you're allowed to build a makkah on Chalamoid if you need one. So the Mishnah, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes that din, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes when the Ritvo, when do you need a makkah? It says you only need a makkah if the porch is used. I live in 24 Bennett. The roof is always locked. They don't want anybody to be on the roof when there's a leak. So they'll send the roofer to go fix the roof. But like this, no one's supposed to be using the roof. So if no one uses the roof, you don't need a makkah. The only time there's a mitzvah to put a makkah is if it's normally used on a regular basis. If you don't use it, you're not mechuyev. The Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah, Shiva learned Sukkah a couple of years ago. So the Gemara said at the beginning of Sukkah, the Chiyuv Makkah is only if it's a bayis downstairs. If it's a roof on top of a bayis means it has a minimum of dalet al dalet amis. If it doesn't have dalet al dalet amis, then it doesn't have a din of a bayis, and then there's no Chiyuv to put a Makkah. You also only mechuyev to put a makkah if it's a beis dira where people live. If it's a shul that has a rooftop, even though the rooftop is used, you're not mechuyev to put a makkah. So the question, but what do you mean? But someone can lose his life. What do you mean? If the house doesn't have dalal adalam, it's not normal. But someone can lose his life. What do you mean you're not mechuyev? So some achranim say there's an essay, analyze essay by makkah. Let's see some makkah l'gagecha, make a makkah, you say a bracha. And then there's a lois esse, well, I saw some damim v'vesecha. If you don't put a makkah, you're over on the lois esse. So the essay that requires of you to say a bracha when you make the makkah, that's only if it's a bias a beis dira, if it's a beis haknesses, you're not, there's no mitzvah essay, and if it's less than dalal dalal amis, there's no mitzvah essay, but the lois esse is still there. Let's saw some damim v'vesecha. If it's a rooftop on top of a yeshiva, on top of a Beis HaMedrash, or if the bias is less than dal adal amas, some achrayim say you mechuyev to put a makkah, but only mitam loises, and not mitam esei, nafkamina, you wouldn't say a bracha. Others hold that that's not true. So that's a question. So if imam is not mechuyev in makkah at all, think the chazan ish holds. It's not true. So how do you understand? Well, why aren't you mechuyev to put a makkah on a beis haknesses if someone can lose his life? So that's a topic for discussion. In the Torah?
Why is a beis haknesses not chayav a makkah?
Only if you have a beis dira, like a mezuzah. You only mechuyev a mezuzah if it's a yishtamsha shalchol. If it's a tamsha shalchodesh, you're not mechuyev in a makkah, you're not mechuyev in a mezuzah.
I think the Mesnagas Midos talks about one of the four levels of roof of the Heichal is called Makkah.
Is that just a coincidence, or is there maybe a lucky precedent to have Makkah in the base of Mekdash? I don't know. Not familiar.
Got to look it up. I don't know. Is really saying that there's only a Makkah where it's a Tash Mishal Chol, or only when it's a base Tira?
Both. You have to have a Tash Mishal Chol.
So
even if it's not a base deer. No, if it's a base of medrash, a base of
knesses. No, but I'm saying some other, like a professional building or a store or something. That would require a lot?
That's also a deer. That's a base deer. Yeah.
Okay, so And so isn't there a concept that some bring down that the reason for mezuzah is the shmira? So maybe you could argue that kashmish al kodesh that itself is a shmira, so you don't need to take it.
Could be. Maybe that's the reason why. I don't know. That could be. There are different kinds of kilayim. There's kiloi hakerem, today's sedra. This is a karmicha kilayim. And if you plant kiloi hakerem, it's also bahano. How do the Tanaim know that b'diyevet it's also bahano? Because it says, pentigdas hamalei asher hazer asher tizra, this was hakerem. Tigdas means it'll aser it. It'll become aser. The Gemara has an additional drasha on the word tigdas. Darshan is if it were written Tukad Eish. Tukad Eish means that it's Menhan Israfim. The Mishnah in the end of Tmura, the very last Mishnah in Tmura, divides all the Yisra Hano into two categories. Let's say by mistake you cook Basa B'cholav. So you throw that in the garbage. So Basa B'cholav is also Hano, it's Menhan Igbarim. You have to dispose of it. Don't leave it in the house, you get rid of it. And Kloy HaKerem is Menhan Israfim. It's a special mitzvah to burn it. So the Gemara learns it out from the word pentugdash. Pentugdash means tukaresh. Pashup shab pentugdash, it'll become asa. Pentigdash amalai azashatizah tuas akar. So they darshan tukaresh. It's a drasha. But the pronunciation is pentigdash amalai azashatizah. Yeah. How do they know that orla is minan israfim? So the Rashi and Taisus asked the question on the Mishnah at the end of Tmura, where it lists off a whole list of all the Yisra Hanoah, and it divides them into two categories, which are Minhan Edbarim, which are Minhan Esrafim, so that Kloy HaKerem is Minhan Esrafim, is the Pasuk, Yidarshan Pentigdash, Pentugaresh. How do they know that Orlo is Minhan Esrafim? So Rashi and Taisus say, there's some kind of a hekish somewhere, we don't know where it is, some kind of a pasuk somewhere that makes a connection between Orla and Kloy HaKerem. It's problematic. The Baal HaTaz, Rashi and Taz didn't know where the drasha is. But they assume there must be such a din. There's a din of Kloy Zroim. Not allowed to plant vegetables near each other. Kloy Zroim is only also in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Loretz is muta. Kloy HaKerem is muta and Chutz Loretz ben HaTorah, because it's from the mitzvahs of Kloy Zroim. But midrabanan, it applies even in Chutz Loretz. But Kloizerim, they never even ask in Chutz Loretz. Why not? That's a question. So Rashi's opinion is that the pasuk that says Lasizra Karmacha Kilaim is Kerem, and Sotcha Lasizra Kilaim. Sotcha Lasizra Kilaim, Rashi says, really goes on Kloy HaKerem. That the whole din of Kloizerim is only midrabanan. That's what Rashi says. Taisen Kiddushin disagrees very strongly with Rashi. He said it's ridiculous. He said it's two different psukim. Lasizah karmacha kalayim is kaloi hakerem. Isotcha lasizah kalayim is kaloi Yisraim. It's also asa manatara. But the difference is, but yeah, but if you want to have you planted, it would be asa ba'anoa. So kaloi Yisraim is not asa ba'anoa, but yeah. So the Gemara makes this, the Gemara Kedushin makes this statement that kaloi hakerem, because it's so chomer that even it's asa ba'anoa. And you have to burn in its minanis rafim, so he introduced it midirabbanan, even a chutzlor, it's exer chutzlor, it's auto eretz Yisrael. But kloy zrayim, bidi yevet is mutabana, if you did it, so it's not so chomer, so they never introduced in a chutzlor, it's exer auto eretz Yisrael, because in eretz so gufa, it's not so chomer. What do you mean not chomer? You still make exer. So according to Rashi, you understand, in eretz so gufa, it's only midirabbanan. Kloy zrayim is only midirabbanan. But the Gemara doesn't say that. Gemara doesn't say it's exeril. Gemara said the reason why they never introduced Kloy Zerayim Chutzlords because in Eretz Yisrael it's not that chomer. What do you mean not chomer? But you get malchus if you plant it. Anyway, that's the Gemara. Kloy Zerayim and Kloy HaKerem, they're both also in Eretz Yisrael. And Kloy HaKerem Chutzlords is also in the Rabban. And Kloy Zerayim, they never made exeril. Rashi says because Kloy Zerayim and Eretz Yisrael is only in the Rabban. But the Gemara doesn't say that reason. The Gemara said because Kloy Zerayim is an Issa Kao in contrast to Kloy HaKerem. That's one kind of kilayim. Then you have Shatnas is Kloy B'godim. You're not allowed to wear Shatnas. Then there's a din of Kloy Be'ema. The Sachish B'shar V'chamor Yachtov. we usually have the image of Ben Etam and the Rashbam were brothers. Rashbam is the older brother. He used to learn with Rashi. That's why Rashbam always follows Rashi. He doesn't disagree with his grandfather. He learned with him. Ben Etam was a little baby when Rashi died, so he feels free to disagree very often with Rashi. Changes the girsas. He's not that respectful to his grandfather. They get the impression. But when you look at the Rashbam of the Torah, you get the impression as if the Rashbam is like the Ibn Ezra, a modern thinker, gives his own pshatim on everything. Ibn Etam seems to be more traditional. That's the impression that you get. You never have a name in Ibn Etam, these wild pshatim like the Rashbam has. But the Mordechai tells over a story, I think it's in the Mordechai, that the Rashbam was a psaholi tzaddik and he didn't look what was happening in the world. He didn't look chutz the Dalai Lama. He said he wants about to climb onto a wagon that was being pulled by horses. So the Rabbi Natam, the younger brother, screamed at him, "Open up your eyes. Don't be such a batlan. It's being pulled by Sharva Hamor. If you walk on this wagon, you'll violate the Issa of La Sachvish B'Sharva Hamor Yachtan." The law doesn't only apply to Chorvish, one who is plowing in the farm. Anytime you have a wagon that's pulled by two different animals, there's also a din, Hamanik B'Kalayim. Is a din. So the Rashbam was a psaholi tzaddik. He didn't look at what's happening in the middle of the Alma. And the Rabbi Natan was more on the ball. He was more alert. He was younger. Maybe when he became older, he also became like the Rashbam. But maybe he was younger. Maybe that's why. So you have all these different forms of kelai. You have kelai hakerim, you have kelai zroim, and shatnas, and kelai begodim. Then you have kelaim and manik b'kelayim. And right next to the pasuk of shatnas, you have the pasuk dim tasalacho. You should put tzitzis in an arba kampas. Al arba kampas kusra, asher techaser bo. If it has three corners, you're not chayiv in tzitzis. If it has five corners, six corners, that's a machlokes hatanoim, whether it's chayiv in tzitzis, we pask, and it is. Chayiv to put tzitzis in four out of the five corners, not in all five. Why are the two psukim written one next to the other? Chumash Dvar Midarshan Smuchim. We assume it's Torah Shabbal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu is reviewing the whole Torah Shabbal Peh with Bnei Yisrael, and by association, he says one din that reminds him of another din, reminds him of another din. So that's why in Chumash Dvar Midarshan Smuchim. So what's the connection between Shatnas and Tzitzis? So the Gemara explains that Esed Dechal Es Esed. This is the Mokar and Kol HaTor Kula for the principle of Esed Dechal Es Esed. If you have a baggage of an Arba Kampas of Pishtim, you're going to put in tzitzis, it's going to be shatnas by definition, because the chelas has to be dyed a specific color, has to be blue from the halozen, and it has to be tzemer, has to be wool. So if you have a tzemer string tied onto a pishtim beged, by definition, that's going to be shatnas, and the Torah says he's still obligated, man on Torah, to put in the shatnas, to make the tzitzis in the beged shel pishtim. So from the smichas ha-psukim, we established the din of Esed Dechal Es Esed and Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the whole sugi, the first sugi in Yavam. It goes on and on and on and on till they discuss the topic of Esed Dechal Es Esed. Then you have the parsha of Motzi Shemra. The father says, "It's bitin asata liish hazeh." The father has the manas to say that he married off the daughter. Should really be a daughter, should be erva. Should really have required shnei edim ksherim. The father is an ed echad and he's a karev, and nonetheless he's believed to say that his daughter is an eshes ish. So the Gemara has a machlekes amaroyim, interesting machlekes. Father says, "I marry my daughter order to this man," and the man says, "That's true. I'm a husband." The father was mekabel kedushin for his daughter, so the father has namonis. So the question is, what if the daughter is mezana with someone else? Do you give the death penalty based on the namanas of the father? Or do you say, no, you only give the death penalty if you establish based on two kosher edim? Is the father neman kishnei edim sherim? Or is the father only neman b'tara shavi anav shechaticha disur? Let's say a woman comes from out of town. She's at the best of our knowledge. We don't know that she's married. A girl comes from somewhere. She says she's Jewish. And then she tells us that she's an Eshes Ish. We wouldn't know. Nobody knows who she is. So that she's not the menace to say she's an Eshes Ish. It's Shavi Anab Shechaticha Disur. A person has the menace on his own. So if this girl says about herself, Eshes Ish Ani, then she's mezana with someone else, we will not give her the death penalty. Because Shavi Anafshe, Chatichad Yisrael is only Anafshe. Beinola Beinatzma Uliatzma. That's the Loshon HaGemara increases. Only Beinola Beinatzma Uliatzma. She's not in the menace that Bezin should give her the death penalty if she'll be mezana. So that's the Machloikis HaMarayim. What's the nature of the emunus of the father? The father has the emunus to say, is beaten as Atelish Hazem, my daughter is an Eshes Ish. Is that an extension of the din of Shavi Anafshe? Even though it's not Anafshe, the father is saying he married off the daughter, but it's a branch of that din, and therefore the father is Neman to declare as an Eshes Ish. But you wouldn't give Misa, you wouldn't give any punishment based on that. Or do you say, no, the father is the Chiddush, the Torah says the father is Neman. So we pass on Aloha that there's no Einish. The father's neman is a branch of the din of Shavi Anafshe Chatichah Disur. Therefore, there's no oinish. So therefore, there's another din. Let's say two Eidim Ksherim come and they tell the whole story. And then they back out. They come back a week later. They back out from the whole story. And they give an amasla. They explain to the Beis Din why they told the lie. So the Gemara says, it's a din kidin shehigit shuv and achor zamag. Once the Eidim gave Haggadah Seidus, they cannot back out. Even if they explain away what motivated them to tell a lie, and the Bezin is really satisfied with their explanation, the Halacha says, Kim Shigit Shuvin Achazor Magin. But if a person makes a Shavi Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura, then the Mishnah is saying Ksubis and the second parak can back out with an Amaslan. Let's say a woman comes from out of town, and a good looking girl, and someone says he'd like to take her on a date. The girl says, sorry, I'm married already. So the guy apologizes. And then 2 months later, she marries someone else. So the guy comes and says, how you talking about? He said you're an Eshesish. So she says, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I wasn't looking for a guy like you. I was looking for a doctor, a lawyer, a rabbi, an Indian chief, whatever. You're not what I wanted. So the Mishnah says that she's the man is to back out with an Amaslam. So that's the Shaila. Can the father back out? The father says, Kidashti is biti. And then he backs out and he gives an amasla. Would the father be neman to back out? So the Pashto says it should depend on that machloikas amarayim. Is the father's nemanis and nemanis similar to shnei eidim ksherim? So then just like shnei eidim ksherim can't back out, the father shouldn't be able to back out either. But we assume ein manishim al yodah. You don't give ein circlim sarfim al yodah. You don't give any onshim because the nemanis of the father is really a branch of the din of shavi anafshe. You know, it's not really anafshe, it's on the daughter. It's an extension of the din of Shavi Anafshe. So by a case of Shavi Anafshe, the father can back out with an Amasla. There was a court case in America years ago. There was unfortunately, when people get divorced, a lot of times they're mean to each other. So there was a case, a couple got divorced, and the husband didn't want to give the wife any child support. They had a daughter, a little daughter, a six-year-old daughter, something like that. Didn't want to give any support. So he went to the Bezin in Montreal, I think, and he told them that I married off my daughter, his 60-year-old daughter, his Mekabel Kedushin for the daughter, and he's not gonna tell anybody who the husband is, left the wife is Mevatar on all of her rights and privileges in court. So he doesn't want to pay a penny. He wants to divorce the wife, he doesn't want to be obligated to give her any alimony, nothing. So the wife was stuck. So other people wanted to be mugging their wives, so they did the same shtick. So the whole bunch of husbands, they all said the same shtick. Kidashti is beat me, I'm not going to tell the wife. And the wife is going to have custody of the daughter. He's not going to tell the wife who the son-in-law is, that they'll be able to get from him, unless the wife is mevata on all the rights and privileges. So they all sued all the husbands together. There was a class action. They all sued them for impairing the... what do you call it? You're not allowed to marry off a young daughter. It's against din in the machusa. You're impairing the morals of a minor, something like that. You're not allowed to do that. So that whole class action. So then in court, all the husbands said the same thing. It's a lie, and we only said in order to squeeze the wife, in order that she should be Michael on all the monetary rights and privileges that she had. So the Shaila was, can he back out? Is there a din of Kivishik and Shivan Achoy Zemagit? So the answer is no, because we assume the Poskim have this, because Chaim Elojen has a tshuva about this, and the Sefer Chutam Shulosh, Chutam Shulish is a collection of tshuvas by Rab Chaim Volozhiner and by two sons-in-law. It's by the three Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin. So Rab Chaim Volozhiner has the first third of the book. Then he had one son-in-law, Rab Hillel, and one son-in-law, Rab Leizer Itchin. Rab Leizer Yitzchak, we used to call him Rab Leizer Itchin. I don't think anybody reads that, those two-thirds of the book, but people read the first third of the book. Rab Chaim Volozhiner is Jewish, because he quotes things from the Vilna Gaon, and he was Rab Chaim Volozhiner, and the others were also big, but he was bigger than them. So he has a tshuva about that. So he has his whole pshat, that the father's namonis is really Shavi Anafshe, and the father can back out with an amasla, like any other case of Shavi Anafshe. Anyway, but the mocker is, it's beaten aside to Lisha Zeh, is the pasuk that appears in today's Sedra in the middle of the parsha of Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is an exception to the rule of Kam Levi the Rabbinei. There's a machlekes hatanaim where the Adam Loika u'mishalim. Rameir's opinion is Adam Loika u'mishalim. There's a din of Kam Levi the Rabbinei in Parshas Mishpatim. Ain't on a mesa mishalim. And lo ye osan, onashi onash, and masan yiv, and asata nefesh tachas nefesh. If you killed someone, then you don't have to pay the mevel odis. But if you didn't kill someone, then you do pay the mevel odis. So that you don't end on the mesa mishalim is the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. And then there's a machleg, Rabbeir and the Chachamim, they say, end on loika mishalim. So Rabbeir holds out the loika mishalim. And we pass on the yonchos, g'day v'shosoi, that's in today's Sedra, mishum risha chasata mechaivo, yata mechaivo mishum mishtei rishios. That's in today's Sedra, when it says, v'hoyon bin ha-kaisa rasha, so we learn out in the pasuk. But the exception to the rule is the Moitzi Shemra, because the pasuk says v'yisra also. Yonshu also mea kesef. Yisra also means they give a malchus. Yonshu also mea kesef. He pays mammon. So the Gemara says that's an exception to the rule. So yotzim ha'klal. The rule usually is eid onam loike mishalim. Moitzi Shemra is both loike. U'mishalim. So there's a discussion. Why should there be such an exception to the rule? Good? Much of issues is here. The dinim amamze, amayne mayovi, mitzvi ledoimi. Motzi Shemra, Oynes and Mefata, Motzi Shemra, much of Maseches Ktzubis is here. Rusa Ma'aviyah did marry Ivtson, Boaz. She married Boaz. How was she allowed to marry Boaz? The Torah says you're not allowed to marry a Ma'avi. So the Gemara says, Ma'avi v'lo Ma'aviyah. Only a male who converts Ma'av is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He has to marry Gioris. But Moaviyah, Rusa Moaviyah, was allowed to marry. So the Chidor lived in the 1700s. He has quite a few svarim. I think he has over 80 svarim. He has a sefer on Megillas Rus that's called Simcha Saregel. And he elaborates on the topic. Rav Avila Soloveitchik also has a little bit on this. That there's a machlokes harishonim regarding this din of Moaviyah v'lo Moaviyah. Is this an old halacha Moshe Messina, an old tradition for the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Or was this a drasha that Shmuel HaNavi was mechadesh? So that's a big machlokes. And then there's a further fascinating machlokes. If you assume that it's a drasha that Shmuel HaNavi was mechadesh, whenever a bezdin is mechadesh a new din, the araisa, by reading in between the lines, do we assume that he discovered a din that it was always so? From the days of Maimon HaSina, do you say no? When a chacham comes up with a new drasha, the din only applies mikan al habo. If a bezin makes a din de rabbanan, so for sure the din only applies mikan al habo. They can't introduce a din ex post facto. That's the rush later in Gitnan, Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara has a suffix that Besar Taiva was mutter in the midbar. They didn't have to, according to Rabbi Akiva, they didn't have to shecht with all the chamishul cheshchiva. If they would do nechira simanim and atzav, they took a saw and cut off the neck of the cow, that would be Nechiras Zuish Chitosa. So under Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, so they would shecht with Nechiras Simanim. They would soak the meat and salt it, then wash off the salt, and then they would vacuum pack the meat, and they would put a label, Nishchat Nimlach V'Hudach Tachas Hashkachas Moshe Rabbeinu Shlita. Says on the label. Then when they cross over the Yarden, now all of a sudden the laws change. Now you don't allow Nechira Simanim anymore. Now you have to have Davke Shchita. So the Gemara has a suffix, but what about the flesh that was Geshochten under the Hashgacha Moshe Rabbeinu Shlita? And then they cross it over the Yarden. All of a sudden now it becomes Nevela. Or they say, no, since they did Nechira Simanim, Nechira Sezuri Shchita, so it was Nishchat. Even though now the Hilcha Shchita changed once they cross over the Yarden. So maybe now you're not allowed to eat it. So Rab Zera has a suffix about this. Boy, Rab Zera, has a daf yud zayin. Evrei b'san nechire sheichnisu Yisrael la'oretz. Are you allowed to eat it or not? So not Gemara, the Rosh discusses. My da'ava havi, what that's bitl Torah to philosophize by what the din was. I Rosh on the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not relevant now. So it's bitl Torah. It's only called Talmud Torah if you're learning something that's Halacha l'maisa, that will learning kochim, learning taras, something in the future that will be. But it was something that will never be repeated again. It's once in the history of the world, never going to happen again. So it's bitl Torah, it's just philosophize. It's a waste of time. So why did the Gemara have the suffix? So the Rosh explains why it is no ge'el halach. So part of his discussion, he says, when the Bezdin makes a gzera de Rabbanon, let's say they ask a gvina sakum. And I already had gvina sakum before they asked it. I cooked the Gemina Sakam in a pot, but I cooked it in a pot at the time that it was kosher before they made Gzera de Rabbanim. So they don't ask the Gemina Sakam ex post facto. The Kala Haba, any Gemina that will be made by the Nochri from now on will be also whatever was made before is Mutter. But on Dinam Deraisa, that's the Shaila. So on Dinam Deraisa, it's an interesting Machlekes Achreinim. The Chido, in his Sefer Simcha Serego, quotes this. When a bezin is machadish a new din deraisa by reading in between the lines, using the midrash alternate reshes behem, so do you say that the din deraisa only is noig mikara lahabo? But you say no, it's a gloy milsim afreya. He discovered a din. The din was always there from Maimon Har Sinai. Can't be the din is only mikara lahabo. Chazanish sounds like he holds a din is only mikara lahabo. A din deraisa, that's only mikara lahabo. Rav Soloveitchik always the same. When the Talmid HaChachamim are darshaning dinim, they're establishing dinim, they're discovering dinim that were always there. They're just discovering it. It's not, not that they're inventing a din. They're discovering it, and we assume that din was always like that. They're not not with the power vested in them, the darshaning apostle. They're discovering what the din always was. And the Chazon Ish held not so. There's a machlekes in the early, the Chido quotes a machlekes. Chido lived in the 1700s. He quotes a machlekes from the earlier generations. But Tzua Daka, there are different traditions, but you spell the word Daka with an Aleph or a Hey at the end. Therefore, the Sefer Torah have it spelled with a Hey, half with an Aleph. So the Shaila is, whatever your Sefer Torah has, it's going to be a 50-50 chance that it's possible. So how can anybody ever say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? Sefer Torah Shachos HaSachos is possible. And the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah writes that you can't learn from a possible Sefer Torah. Because Mishnah quotes a Tshuvah Sarajbo, that the Rambam in the Tshuvah writes that you can learn from a possible Sefer Torah. So by the Yevid, we rely on the Rambam. Let's say in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, you find there's a mistake. So you put away the Sefer Torah, you take out a new one, he lane from there to the end of the set. You don't lane over what you read already. But yeah, we rely on the Tshuvah Sarama. But Lachatchila, you don't lane. You don't lane from Apostle and Sefer Torah. So has anybody ever lane Kriya Sartor from any Sefer Torah? There's a 50-50 chance that the Sefer Torah is Apostle. There's the word Pitzua Daka, either spelled with a Hey or an Aleph, and some Achleikas, which is the correct spelling. So it's a Pella. It's a Pella. So the Menchas Chinuch has a suggestion. But less brere, we don't have anybody who says a better suggestion. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if you spell Petzua with an Aleph instead of an Ayin, that's a misspelling. According to the dictionary, that's a misspelling. Or in Yiddish, there's an expression, you spelled Noach mit sieben Greisen. Spell the word Noach with seven mistakes. Instead of a Nun, you have a final Nun. Then you write Noach, final Nun, Vav, Yud, Aleph, and a small Chaf. Supposed to be, if it's at the end of the word, it should be a final chat, but it should be a ches. So that counts as two mistakes. Is that seven mistakes? I forgot. That's the Yiddish expression. It's spelled Nach with seven mistakes. So if you have a final nun at the beginning of the word, that's a mistake. If you have a chof, a nach, instead of a ches, that's a mistake. Tzodaka can be spelled with a hey or with an aleph at the end. If it's Aramaic, it's an aleph. If it's Hebrew, it's a hey. They're both correct spelling. The only question is, according to the Masorah, what is it supposed to be over here? So that's a chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, that the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah that if the Sefer Torah is chosur, isachas is possible and can't link as a Torah, that's if it's a mistake based on a dictionary spelling. But if according to the dictionary it's correct, the only thing is that according to the Masorah it's not correct. He thinks a chiddush, he thinks that then you can learn Kriya Satur. He says, unless, let's say, you have a Kriya Ksiv, it's supposed to be written one way, read the other way. So that's Halacha Moshe Messina, Kriya Ksiv. The Gemara says, Halacha Moshe Messina, Gemara Nedarim, Adaf Lamed Ches. So if you have a Kriya Ksiv and it's written the way the Kriya is supposed to be, then it's possibly in Bidiyevit. The Minchas Chinuch, the later, Minchas Chinuch is pretty late. It was the end of the 1800s. So the Minchas Chinuch has this suggestion. So then the later Poskim from the early 1900s had a Shaila. If you adopt the position of the Minchas Chinuch, the word Na'aro appears a lot of times in today's Sedra in Tanakh, like that. It's spelled Nun Ayin Resh, without a hey at the end. Sometimes spelled with a hey, sometimes without a hey. The Gemara darshins, how come sometimes with a, sometimes without a hey? The Gemara in the Ksuba says Alocha based on it. Mole Echase, you darshin also. So that's a shaila. The word Na'aro, when it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh, is that a Kriya Ksiv? So then Minchas Chinuch would say that passes B'dievet. It's written Na'ar, and the Kriya is Na'aro. But he'd say, no, there are two correct spellings for the word Na'aro in Biblical Hebrew. You can either spell Na'aro Nun Ayin Resh Hey, or Nun Ayin Resh. Maybe it's not a Kriya Ksiv. Maybe that's a correct spelling. Rav Kamina, what if the Sefer wrote Na'aro Nun Ayin Resh Hey? He wrote it out the way we would have written it, but according to the Sefer Torah, it's supposed to be spelled Nun Ayin Resh. Do you label it as a Kriya Ksiv, so it's Ma'akeh B'dievet, the whole Sefer Torah will be apostle? Or do you say, no, it's not a Kriya Ksiv. There are two correct spellings. In Biblical Hebrew, there are two correct spellings. According to the Masorah, it's supposed to be Nun Ayin Resh, but since in the dictionary it's a correct spelling, so you can lay in for that Sefer Torah. That's a Shaila. What's the definition of a mamzer? Big machlekes hatanai, many different opinions, quite a few different opinions. And Yavam is a big discussion.
Rabbi, what does it mean that b'di'evet we rely on the Shulis Rambam that the lamb is in the Torah puzzle? So if you caught a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the middle of Kriyas Torah, so would we just continue with Kriyas Torah?
Yeah, that's what we do all the time. We put away that Sefer Torah because Mikanel Habah, that's Lechatchila. But yet we don't lean over what they already did. So the Mishnah Berurah says, but lachatchila, if there's room, you should try to squeeze in seven aliyahs from here to the end. That's lachatchila. The Rav Soloveitchik said, if they won't fire the rabbi, lachatchila, you should have them lean over everything from the beginning of the Sedra.
And if they only found a mistake after Kriyas Torah,
that's b'di'evet. So you leave it the way it is. So
you
get it.
In the middle of a puzzle?
What?
Do you stop in the middle of a puzzle?
No, you finish the pasuk, and if the pasuk was in three, if it's within three psuchim to a psucha or stuma, then you finish to the psucha the stuma. Then you say the bracha shenasan lo, and put away the sefer Torah, take out a new one. You start from after the psucha the stuma. The different opinions. What do you do if you find a mistake? So that's the generally accepted practice. You finish till the end of the first place you can stop. You can't stop in the middle of the pasuk. Can't stop three psukim between three psuchim to a psucha or stuma. Pasuk has a din that you have to be careful for erva in the army. You have to liyer b'cha erva zdover. You have to be careful for erva. You have to be careful for tzoa. Every soldier has to have a shovel. If there's no special makom miyuchad for beis hakisei, you have to have a shovel. You have to cover over the tzoya. So the Gemara learns that the end of the second parak in Brachas, the Gemara has all the dinim that you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to learn keneged tzoy, keneged erva. How do they learn it off in the psukim? It's not talking about learning, it's not talking about davening. What does it have to do with the parsha in today's sedra? So the Nidetziv has a fantastic suggestion. The Pashto says that it's certainly not Lefi Pshuto. The Nidetziv in the Hagdamah to the Shiltas, the Hagdamah, his introduction to Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he quotes, he was a fantastic Baki. So any idea that he wanted to demonstrate, he'll throw up marmikovers from all over, call it Torah Kula. So he demonstrates that all wars in the world are the fault of the Jews. We are responsible. Because of Bittul Torah. When we're not learning Torah, so the Ribbono Shel Olam makes the war in Vietnam. And then if we don't get the hint, so then he brings the war closer to us. We still don't get the hint, then he makes the war among the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. But that's what the Gemara says. All the wars are our fault. So if we will learn, Am Desayi Ragleina B'Sharayach Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says in Makkos, Am Desayi Ragleina B'Molchama. The Jewish soldiers are successful in battle in the schus of Visharach Yerushalayim, in the yeshivas in Yerushalayim, they're learning. So in the schus of the Talmud Torah, we win all the wars. So the Nitziv has many marmikams to demonstrate that this is so. The all Mohammeds are the fault of Bittul Torah. So he says, therefore, when they sent a group of soldiers to the front, they would have them learn at the front. Where does it say that? That have the people from the Hezder are fighting a war. They have Gemaras with them, okay. But they sent the whole battalion to sit and learn at the front. They can learn in Yerushalayim. We don't have to learn at the front. That's what he says. So he says, therefore, you have to be careful for Tzoya and for Meraglayim and for Erva because they're learning, because the group is learning. The Poshib Shat is not like he said. The Pashab Shatis, it says why? Ki Hashem alakech misalach bekerach machanech la'atzil l'akha liyeh b'chevez dava v'shov ne'acharecha, because the Shechina is there with you. Because the Shechina is there, so you have to be careful for Erevo and Soya Meraglayim. And whatever you want to say a bracha, whenever you want to learn Torah, also the Shechina will be there, so you should be careful. But it's not because there's a battalion that's learning at the front. That's why they have to be careful, because the Shechina is there. How many Jews do you have that they should pull down the Shechina, that you have to be careful? So that's a machlokes in the Yerushalmi, the end of the first perek in Erevin. The last Mishnah in the first perek in Erevin is about Abu Advarim Potru B'machna, dinim about the Jewish army, Israeli army. The Chazon Ish has all the dinim there. The end of the first, and it's Sefer on Erevin, the end of the first perek. So the Rabbeinu Hananel on the side, printed on the side of the page in Erevin, the end of the first parak, quotes the Machloikas, how many soldiers they need to be together that should have the status of a Machne Yisrael. So one opinion is 10 soldiers, Kol Be'asar Shechin Tashari. You have 10 Jewish soldiers who could be mitzarfim to a minion, not a pikursim and so on. If you have 10 Jewish soldiers who could be mitzarfim to a minion, say, this is a Dovish B'Kedusha. Lilcha Melchamas Hashem is a Dovish B'Kedusha. Even though they're not davening, they're not learning a word, because the Shechina will be there. I think the Magen Mishnah assumes like that, la'alocha, that's how he passed it. 10 soldiers together. Then there's another discussion, how close do they have to be? Let's say 10 soldiers on one side of the Suez Canal, 5 soldiers on one side of the Suez Canal, 5 soldiers on the other side of the Suez Canal. Can they daven Chazoras Hashatz? Are they mitzarfim to a minyan? They're so far apart. 5 soldiers in the cave, 5 soldiers out of the cave, but then it starts into a minion. So when they have wars in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, they have to get past the Nisha. The Chazon Ish has a lot about that. How close do the soldiers have to be that they should be mitzarfim to a minion? Then there's another opinion. It's not enough. 10 soldiers, you have to have 1,000. Because they sell Elef Lamata, Shnei Masar Elef Chalutzei Tzavo. And the third opinion is you need 12,000. You have to have Shnei Masar Elef Chalutzei Tzavo. If you have 12,000 soldiers together, then it has a din of a machne. So I think the Chazon Ish points out that the Magen Mishnah seems to have adopted the position. The Rambam is not clear which sheet that we paskin like. I think the Chazon Ish assumes, based on the Magen Mishnah, that it's 10 soldiers. It's a Dov Shebikdusha. The Shechina, the Ribbono Shel Olam promises that he will be there when the Jewish people will be fighting a Mohammed. We have a lot of dinim. Nidrei Mitzvah, today Sedu has Nidrei Mitzvah, not the same as Nidrei Horishus. Okay, next year we'll have to do the second half of Kisei. So much left. Okay. 1:30 I'm going to give a shiur here on air.